And that's a great picture for what we're talking about tonight, this idea of accountability. Make bad. This idea of us coming alongside of other people, not letting them make bad decisions. Real friends don't just encourage each other in the easy times, but we help each other. We step in, we speak up, we help each other make wise decisions, even when it's hard. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about this, about how we need other people around us to encourage us, to lift us up, to keep us accountable. One of those places we find in Hebrews 3. So open with me to Hebrews 3. It's towards the end of your Bible. It's on page 1002 if you're in one of these Bibles. If you're in your own Bible, think towards the back. And we find ourselves in Hebrews 3. Now, the interesting thing about Hebrews 3 is it's a part of the New Testament that actually references a place in the Old Testament. It's kind of like a history lesson. And for us to understand what is happening in chapter 3, we need to back up and make sure that we understand what that history is so that we can track with what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. It's referencing this time way back in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, with these with the people of God when they were wandering in the wilderness. We'll call them the wilderness wanderers. This is right after the time when they were brought out of slavery, when they were enslaved in Egypt, and God brought this guy named Moses and sent Moses to go free them from slavery. Think about like the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. And God brought them out of slavery and brought them into the wilderness so that they can start to get to know him, that he can start introducing himself to them, and that they can start learning to trust him. There's these miraculous things that happen. If you've never heard about this story, you can check out a movie called The Prince of Egypt. Great movie, arguably better soundtrack. Check it out. See what that story is. Where we find ourselves tonight is talking about what happened with those people. See, God was providing for them. He provided not only the plagues to bring them out of slavery, but he was providing food for them. He was providing water for them in miraculous ways while they were in the wilderness. Moses would just like strike a rock with his staff and water would flow from it. They'd walk out of their tents in the morning and there would just be bread on the ground that they could pick up and eat. God was providing for them in these miraculous ways. And all they had to do was trust God. Trust him. Follow him. But even with all these miracles, when things got hard, they didn't. In fact, when things got hard, they said, man, life was so much better when we were slaves back in Egypt. Like, let's go back there. Not only did they not trust God, but they wanted nothing to do with him. Imagine that you see God do all these crazy things. He gives you food every day, and you're like, nope, I'd rather not. That's the context to where we're jumping into Hebrews 3. We're going to start reading in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Micah, can you turn me down just a little bit, please? So this author of Hebrews is pointing back to these wilderness wanderers, people who saw God work, heard his voice, but when life got hard, they turned away. And God wasn't just leading them to the wilderness. He was leading them to this place called the Promised Land, this place of freedom, of rest, this place where they could be in relationship with God. But they didn't trust him. They rejected him. They weren't able to enter. And so Hebrews is warning us, don't do that. Learn from them. Don't do that. And the best way for you to do that is with each other. Listen to what verse 13 says. I'm going to read it again in the NIV. It puts it a little clearer. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encourage one another. Don't let each other fall into sin. Friends, don't let friends forget about God. Write that down. Friends, don't let friends forget about God. This is what accountability looks like. Now, accountability is this big idea, but at its core, it's this idea of helping someone own their decisions and take responsibility for their actions. So this idea of helping someone own their decisions and take responsibility for their actions. I like to think of it with counting, maybe because counting is in, like, the word count is in accountability. That's how my brain works. But, like, if I were to ask somebody, hey, can you count to 10? Accountability would be me coming back to them and say, hey, did you count to 10? Did you go, like, 1, 2, 3, 4? Like, did you go all the way? Did you skip any numbers? That's what accountability looks like. It's coming back to someone, not doing it for them, but helping them take ownership, helping them follow through, helping them learn from it. One person who's kept me accountable in my life was my friend named Micah Hofek. Micah and me met my freshman year of college. We were both on the football team. One practice, he was an upperclassman. I was a little freshman. One practice, I kind of like corrected something he was doing, and he came up to me after practice and was like, you. I was like, oh, he's mad at me. Oh, no, I'm in trouble. He's like, you and me, we're going to do that in real life. You're going to be my accountability partner. I'm going to be your accountability partner. We're going to correct each other. We're going to keep each other going towards Jesus, okay? And I'm like, sure, sounds great. I didn't know what was in store for me. Because fast forward a few months, Micah grabbed me and he brought me in for a chat and he sat me down and he's like, hey, man, what are you doing? See, there was a part of my life that didn't look very much like Jesus. We had a third friend who I was kind of a jerk to. I cared more about myself than I did this friend. I wasn't very nice. I was passive aggressive. I might not have been malicious, but I wasn't kind. I didn't love that friend. And so Micah came to me and was like, dude, what are you doing? This isn't you. This isn't who Jesus has called you to be. Why are you doing this? Micah was pushing me to see Jesus. He wasn't letting me fall into sin in how I treated my friend. He encouraged me to stop. He encouraged me to love the way that Jesus does. Micah encouraged me in my relationship with Jesus. Write down this question and leave some space for it. Who is someone in your life? Who is someone who has encouraged you in your relationship with Jesus? And how did they do that? Who is someone who has encouraged you in your relationship with Jesus? And how did they do that? I want you to spend some time in your small group thinking about this, to journal this down and talk about it with your small group together. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we need other people to encourage us. We need other people to keep us accountable in our relationship with Jesus. But what does this actually look like? How do we actually do this? Well, I want to highlight two things. First, how do we do this practically with each other? And then two, what relationships do we need in our life for us to do this? So first, how do we do this? Well, simply the most important part of the how is our posture. If I were to come to you and I say, you are so terrible, you're doing this wrong, you're just such a bad person. Like, whoa. If I have somebody come to me and say that, I'm not going to listen to them. That's hard for me to hear. That puts me in a defensive posture. I don't want to deal with them. But if somebody comes to me like Micah did, hey man, what's going on? What's in your heart right now? What are you feeling? Why are you doing this? And they come with a posture of gentleness, of compassion, of kindness. That doesn't mean they're not firm. Micah was firm with me. He didn't let me get off the hook. He kept me accountable, but he did so in a gentle way that let me listen to him, that let me feel like I could be vulnerable with him, that he still loved me even though I needed accountability. So how we hold somebody accountable, how we give encouragement, our posture matters. It also matters in how we receive it. If I would have received Micah's encouragement or accountability with pride in my heart of like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's wrong. I love people. He's just blind. If I have a prideful heart and I'm not willing to listen to somebody, I can't receive it. And I'm going to do the same thing the wilderness wanderers did, where I harden my heart and I turn away from God. Instead, what if we're humble? What if we have this posture of, okay, maybe somebody can see something else in me that I can't see in myself. Maybe they can observe my actions in a different way than I do, like Micah did with me. He saw something in me, and if I would have had a posture of like, no, you're crazy, but because of the relationship we had, I knew that I needed to listen to him. So can we be in a posture where we're humble and willing to listen to others as they speak into our lives? The posture matters in how we hold each other accountable and how we let others hold us accountable. So what relationships do we need to do this? Well, if you were at Fall Fling this weekend, this is going to sound familiar to you because me and Spencer have the same thoughts, actually. Spencer talked about this idea. The first relationship that we need is a parallel friend, someone that we are going to walk with next to as we move towards Jesus, somebody that is our peer that can hold us accountable like me and Micah, where we're friends, we can be together, we can work together, we can hold each other accountable, encourage one another, and go alongside of each other as we go towards Jesus. The second relationship is that you need a mentor. You need somebody who's seen a little bit more life, who's a little bit further along in their relationship with Jesus, who's a little bit wiser than you, someone who can speak truth into your life. Someone, as they're following Jesus, can turn around, grab you, and pull you with them as they go to Jesus. Someone that you trust. And I know it can be feel weird or awkward or even scary to be like, hey, would you be my mentor? But I promise you, that is one of the most honoring questions that you can ask somebody. Hey, would you be willing to meet with me and encourage me in my faith with Jesus? Can you be my mentor? And if you don't know who, you have leaders sitting with you. Or ask your parents. Hey, I've been thinking I need a mentor in my life. Do you have somebody in mind that would be a good fit for me that could encourage me? We need somebody who's a little bit further along. As they go to Jesus, they can turn around and grab us and pull us with them. And then the third relationship we need is someone that you can encourage along the way. That as you get pulled along to follow Jesus, you turn around and say, hey, you're going to come with me too. And I'm going to encourage you. And I'm going to hold you accountable. So three relationships. One, a parallel friend. Somebody that you can walk with. That you can hold each other accountable as you both are going towards Jesus. You can be with them one-on-one. You need a mentor. Someone who's a little bit further along that can help you, that can speak truth and hold you accountable. And you need somebody that you can do the same with. Now, it's one thing for you to hear this all from me, but we want to give you a perspective about what this looks like from your shoes, from one of you. So I've asked my friend Nora to come and share about a time in her life when she experienced this. Nora?
And I was having a great summer. Things were going great, and I was hanging out with my friends and growing with my relationship with Jesus. I was also growing close to a friend that I never thought I would grow close with. It was a peak of my summer, and I never wanted to go back to my normal life. And I was very happy and satisfied until I found out my friend who I cared about a lot lied to me. And I continuously lied to me and ended up ruining a friendship I considered a close relationship. It felt like they didn't care about our friendship, and it made me feel worthless. That pushed me to rock bottom, and I became really sad and depressed. I started to have trust issues, and everyone I had a close relationship with. I lost connection with my other friends, and it made me feel like there was no point of trusting others if there was no one to have trust that can hold the trust. And worst of all, I lost my trust with God. But my story doesn't end there. Someone who helped me out of that depression was my friend Grace. Grace brought Jesus back into my life by showing me his light. She would show up to me even though I didn't know that I needed her at the time. One of the ways she showed me his light was by bringing her Bible to my house and reading it. Seeing her commitment of reading the Bible and having her read it to me showed me that I was lacking in that area of my life. I was not trying in my relationship with God. Her presence and commitment to reading the Bible had encouraged me to read my own Bible on my own. I began to experience God again. Grace also let me know that it was okay not to be okay, and that no matter what happened, God still loved me. I didn't realize how much that meant to me until I took a step back and realized the big picture of it, and God never stopped loving me even when I didn't want to love him back. Grace didn't just help me in my faith, she also helped me in my social life and reconnecting with my friends. For example, I used to hate school events. I didn't want anything to do with sports games, but my brothers loved them, so we had to go. But Grace could tell that I was struggling with hanging out with my friends, and she told me to just try. And you never guess who had fun. It was me. I now love going to sports games, and it wasn't just about the games. Grace helped me connect with my friends. Grace, after the game, asked me how it was, and I told her I enjoyed it. I reconnected with all my friends that I hadn't talked to since before I hit rock bottom. Without Grace keeping me accountable and having her come back and asking me if I enjoyed the game, or making sure that there were people in my life that I could trust, I would never push myself to move forward, and forever I am grateful for my friends that were patient with me when I was going through a rough time. Grace was my friend who didn't let me forget about God. She was kind and compassionate and cared about me enough to help encourage me in my faith.
Man, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Nora. It's cool to hear that story about how Grace was that friend for Nora. And notice how Grace did it. She was gentle. She cared about Nora. She was present with her. She just wanted to push her to see Jesus just a little bit more. And did you notice Nora's posture? She was willing to hear it. She might not have loved it in the moment, loved every part of what Grace was saying to her, but she was willing to listen. She was humble. She was open to what Grace had to tell her. Grace was her friend who didn't let Nora forget about God. So who in your life is that friend for you? I want you to think about for a second, just like what this community could look like if we let other people in. If we let other people do this to us, to hold us accountable, to encourage us, to push us to see Jesus, or what would it look like if you used your voice to do the same for others? One of those things, if you were at the retreat this weekend, Spencer talked about making decisions. He gave you two decisions to make, either a first-time decision to follow Jesus or a decision to turn your life around and to recommit back. If you made one of those decisions and you haven't told your group or your small group leader, man, tonight's the night to let them in on that. To let them be a part of that with you so that they can encourage you and lift you up in that. Or if you're still having questions about it, or if you're doubting about it, or if you are still wrestling with it, this is the night to let others in to encourage you, to talk through it, to talk about it. We're going to end with this. I'm going to pray. We're going to throw up that question about who in your life has encouraged you in your faith with Jesus and your relationship with Jesus. Can you throw that up now, Ben? And in the time that we have left, I'm going to give you like 2 minutes to just journal about this, to just like write down a name, who was it, and what, and how they encouraged you. And then I'll come back up and we'll go ahead to small groups. So let's pray. Father, you love us so incredibly much. And that you've placed us in a place, you've placed us in a community with people who love us, even if we don't know that they do. So would this be a night where we can be real with our groups, where we can talk about hard things, where we can be vulnerable, where we can let others come alongside of us and encourage us, and we can invite them to hold us accountable to who you have called us to be, and to what does it look like to follow you? Would you help us be humble in that? And as we speak into other people's lives, would you help us be gentle and kind and compassionate? Spirit, would you be active, moving in our relationships, in our small groups tonight? I ask this in your name. Amen. Take 2 minutes, and I'll release you. This is a time where we'll be talking. It'll just be quiet. Pen's writing.